Yep, he's my friend. I love your pastor. He's a good friend. I have enjoyed his friendship over the years. I've came to know him through Brother Dave McCracken, and I've known Brother Dave for a long time. And I never would have thought that God would allow someone like me from the big city of Kermit, Texas, to be able to be a pastor and a preacher of the Word of God. I am very fortunate and very blessed to be able to be a preacher. I'm certainly a recipient of God's grace, and man, I'm thankful for grace, amen, and for what God's done for us. And one thing I've learned about your pastor over the years is he's not very competitive. You know, he's pretty easygoing when it comes to, you know, competition and stuff. He's very gracious. No, not so much. But I like the competition. He competes, and man, my dad told me, he said, listen, he said, when you compete, he said, you do the best you can, but, you know, you always try to win. And he learned me how to play the best that I could to win. We were kids one time, and I still remember we were playing football out in the yard, and dad was out in the front yard with us, and he threw a pass to my brother, and I intercepted, and I'm running toward the end zone, and I'm thinking, man, I have made it. And just before I get there, my dad tripped me and knocked me down, you know, and I'm thinking, Dad, what is this? I'm only four, you know? I mean, you know, try to help me out a little bit. But I've enjoyed the hospitality of your pastor, Ms. Steph. They are dear friends, and I appreciate them very much. Look in Daniel chapter 5, if you would. I appreciate all the help with my vertigo. I've had a lot of people have given me things to do, and some of them I tried, you know. I had somebody tell me the other day, if you'll do a somersault, and if that doesn't work, then try that, you know, but yeah, I'm not a big somersault kind of guy. Circles, going in circles make me dizzy anyway, and I'm having trouble with that now. You know, that's what vertigo is, right? It's going in circles, but some of them I did. I don't know if they worked. We'll find out when I lay down this evening, but the afternoon's been pretty good. So maybe, you know, if I fall down, don't worry about it. I'll get up, okay, and we'll just move right along, all right? Daniel chapter 5, if you'll stand with me in honor of reading God's word. We'll read a few verses and then we'll get started. It says, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was the king Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever, and let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. whom the king, Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, the father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called and he will show the interpretation. Dear Father, I pray that God that you'd help me, Lord, tonight. I pray, God, that you'd speak through me and God, just help me, Lord, again to be a blessing, Lord, to the folks here this evening. And I pray, God, that you'd speak to our hearts and we will allow you for the next few minutes, Lord, to just speak to us in that still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray that we'll not get in your way, but we will, Lord, just sit still for a few moments and listen for you, Lord. And we ask you to do that. Bless the reading of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever done anything that when you get to start at doing it, it's really not a good idea to do it? I mean, you get started and you think, yeah, now this is not really smart, but your brain is not really working right then. And so you continue forward and you go ahead and do it. You know, you think sometimes that age helps you with that kind of stuff. But oftentimes, it gets in the way. About 2 weeks ago, or say 2 weeks, it's been probably 3 weeks ago now, we had a tornado hit our house. We had a bunch of trees that we had piled up out behind our yard, and so I thought I was going to burn them. And so I thought, you know, I had tried to burn them a couple of times. I poured a little gas on them. The trees were pretty dry, and I thought, well, this will catch on fire pretty quick. It'll burn. Everything will be good. Well, I did that twice, and twice it didn't work. They'd burn for a few minutes and go out. So a few days went by, and I noticed my neighbors over here, they're burning their trash, and I thought, you know, I'm going to give that another try. So I went in town, I filled up a 2-gallon little can of gas, and I thought, you know, I'm going to pour this on there because, you know, if a little gas will work a little, a lot of gas will work really good. So I went and I poured gas and I walked around and I poured the gas on it and I poured the gas in it. And I'm thinking, you know, the last two times it's kind of poofed a little bit, you know, with that little gas. And so I figured it's going to do the same thing. But since I poured a lot of gas, I thought I'll pour me a little trail out here about, you know, 10 feet or so. And I've seen that on TV. You light it and it runs right up there and everything's good. Well, I ran out of gas, and I didn't pour a very long line. It might have been about 2 feet. And, you know, in my mind is saying, you know, if you can outrun that. You're pretty quick. You know, you're a little older, but you're still quick. And you'll be faster than what's fixing to happen, and it'll be okay. So I got me one of those Bic lighters, and that gave me an extra, I don't know, what, 4 inches of running space. So I went and I leaned way out like this as far as I could lean, and I struck that thing and it was like a bomb going off. And I yelped and my wife knew what was going on. She was up at the house and that flash, it burned my arm. Second, third degree burned all the hair off my arm. Second and third degree burns on my arm. And I ran up to the house, and she ran to the store, got me some medicine. I'm putting cold water on it. You know, I'm Googling everything. What do you do for burns? And you know, and I'm thinking, man alive. And I started, you know, kind of hair, when it burns, it kind of smells. Well, I don't have any hair here. But I used to have more here. And when that thing went off, it singed all my eyebrows, and it singed off part of my mustache. And this was like on a Friday. Sunday's coming. And I'm thinking, man, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. But, you know, so I thought, well, I'll go in, I'll comb it out, and I'll do a little trim work, and everything will be okay. Well, you know, when after it was all over and said and done, my arm was just, man, it hurt, it was painful, and had no eyebrows, and my mustache was half gone, and I'm thinking, you know, that was pretty stupid. And I'd wish that when it was all over, said, and done, that I hadn't done that. Well, here in chapter 5 of the book of Daniel, we find a new king is on the throne of Babylon, And his name is Belshazzar. He's the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he did some dumb things, but he, I think, you would think he learned. I think he probably did toward the end. God made him do a few things that probably he didn't think he would wind up doing. But here's his son, Belshazzar, and he's giving a big party for a couple thousand of his nobles, and the Bible says their wives was there, his concubines, and all the preparations for a banquet had been made. I mean, all the guests, they're starting to get there. The slaves are outside. They're parking the chariots, and the nobles and the princes, they're in taking selfies of themselves inside the palace. That's the first time they had been there. They're walking the red carpet up to the banquet hall, and I mean, they're about to have a good time. All the ancient rulers of those days were known for their lavish banquets, and they could last literally for weeks. I mean, these guys wanted to display all their wealth. They wanted to show off, and I mean, they're fixing to have a big deal and a big party for all their people. But an interesting thing here that we see, that while Belshazzar's hosting this big party, if you go and read, the enemy, the Persian army, is camped outside the city gates, and they're about to take over the city of Babylon. I mean, they had already cut off the water supply of the city. And here's Belshazzar thinking they're safe inside, and they're about to have a big party. Listen, I want you to understand something today, that the things of this old world want to rob us of the cooling and the water, in that sense, of the Holy Spirit of God, and rob us of the things that are going on inside our heart. And we've got to be careful today how that we conduct ourselves in this life, because there's always the enemy of God is outside waiting to take over our lives. And so here's Belshazzar. He's inside. He's about to have this big party. And while all this outside stuff is taking place, he's inside, and he's about to have a party, and he's about to get drunk. In fact, I think he's probably drunk already. And while he's drunk, he makes a decision to do something really stupid. Just like, you know, the burning of these old fires, and Belshazzar is about to make a big mistake. I think it's really foolhardy. And if you go back and you read about Nebuchadnezzar, when he was king, you remember that he's the one that overthrew Jerusalem, and he took all the golden vessels out of the temple of God, and he carried those vessels back to Babylon. So here's Belshazzar. He's having this big party. He's having this great display of all his wealth and all the things that he has accomplished in his life. And so he has all his servants go down to the storage building and bring back the sacred vessels out so they can drink alcohol out of them. And if you look in verse 4 of chapter 5, you notice what they did. It says they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Listen, while drinking wine from these vessels, there's shouts of laughter, they're having a big time, there's shouts of mockery, and the vessels that were once used and handled by the priests of Almighty God are now being used in a banquet table filled with alcohol and wine and used to bring praises to a Babylonian god and just make a mockery out of things of God. Can I tell you this evening that, folks, listen, that we today are vessels of a holy and a righteous God if you are born again. And there is something in us, the Holy Spirit of God. We are sacred vessels to Almighty God. And if we're not careful today, the world will choose or will cause us to use this body, this temple of the Holy Spirit of God, on things that are ungodly and unwise. And if we're not careful, it'll make us do things that are outside the will of God for our lives. And I want you to understand this, that what's going on here. Belshazzar, he takes these holy vessels and they're having this big party and they're beginning to drink. And all of a sudden, I would imagine that Belshazzar's having this big time and there's a lot of folks that are just gathered around him. But I can imagine that there's someone all of a sudden says, look at that. And they look and they behold the fingers of a man's hand began to write something on the wall. And Belshazzar is shaken to the core. Now, if you read here, you watch what's saying. The Bible says that his knees smote one against the other. Now, brother, that is scared. Has anybody ever been scared in their life? Listen, I'm telling you, there's been times that I have been scared to death, and I feel like, you know, I'm a grown man. And there's some times that you walk into places and you really think, you know, I don't think I need to be here. I was in church one time in our auditorium, and I was down at the altar similar to this, and our baptistry is up pretty high, and it's wooden steps and things up there, and I was spending a little time alone with the Lord. The lights were off, and I was in the church all by myself, and I start praying, and I'm thinking, you know, just talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden I hear steps. And I'm thinking, oh, is there somebody up there? I mean, it's late at night. And there's been things going on in my life. And I'm thinking, you know, Lord, I need a little help. So I thought, I'm going to go spend some time with the Lord. So I'm down here praying, minding my own business, and honest to goodness, and I'm hearing steps. And I'm thinking, I think somebody's in the church. So I listen, and I don't hear anything else. And I walk over to the side of the building, and I start to walk around, and I went, hey, is anybody in here? And I look up the steps. Nobody says anything. I don't hear any more steps. So I thought, huh, nobody's in here. I guess I'll go. And I just walked out. You know what? I was scared to death. I wasn't going to go up there and see if there was anybody in there. You know, I mean, my mama, she taught me, I think, a little bit better than that. But it scared me. So I just left. Well, Belshazzar, listen, he is honestly scared to death. And his joints, the Bible says, began to smote one against the other. You see, when these fingers appeared, listen, there was no noise. I would imagine that everything quit. You could have heard a pin drop on the floor. That, listen, there's no noise when it appears. There's no lightning. There's no flaming sword. There's only writing. And you know, oftentimes when we are looking for something from God, we look for the spectacular, we look for something grandeur. But listen, God doesn't come to us in that way. He comes to us in the still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God. But we need to make sure that we are at the place where we can hear the things of God. Oftentimes we like to stay busy because as long as we're busy, we don't have to listen or we don't have the means to listen in our spirit to what God's trying to tell us. But when we be still, my mom used to tell us as kids, there was two brothers, two sisters in my family, and oftentimes we would be doing something and my mom and my dad would look at us and say, you be still. And you know what we did? We be still. And then we began to listen to what they had to say to us. You know, as Christians today, if we're really busy, we're really doing things in our life, you know, that we crowd out that still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God, and we're not able to hear. Listen, God wants us to be still. He wants us to sit still and be still so that we can hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, it's happening right here. Listen, the fingers begin to write on the wall, and I think it all got quiet. I mean, it was a party stopper. And I want you to think about this. The merriment stopped. The dancing stopped. The music stopped. The server stopped serving. The attendants stopped attending. There was an eerie silence that crept its way across the room as everybody's eyes began to focus on the writing. And then if you look in verse 6, look what it says. It says that then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. Listen, the king's countenance, all the color washed out of his face. And the Bible says that he was so scared that his knees hit one against the other. And as soon as he was able to compose himself, he called for his occult advisors to come interpret for him the writing on the wall. And if you notice there, the writing was Mana, Mana, Tikal, Paraz. The words were what nobody could read. In fact, they were probably too busy doing the other things to be in a state where they could read them. The wise men, the astrologers, the soothsayers of Babylon, they were all brought in to see if they could make sense of what the writings said, but they failed. The writings on the wall were something that everybody could see, but it was too much for the wisdom and superstition of Babylon. Can I tell you today that the wisdom of this world is no match for the wisdom of Almighty God and His Word? Listen, there's a lot of things going on today that just boggle my mind. And everybody can say amen. Listen, we look around at society today, and our society is corrupt. Sometimes I believe it is beyond repair. But listen, God is still on the throne. And the word of God still stands true. And I want you to understand that there is a wisdom that goes beyond the wisdom of man today. And it's a wisdom that each of us as born again children of God can have a part of. And it's right here in the word of God. Listen, the wisdom of these men, they couldn't do anything about it. So he rushes to the banquet hall to encourage and advise his son. And the queen comes in as well. And she immediately noticed that the king is gripped in fear. And look in verse 9 and 10 what she says. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Watch, let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. And then go on, it says, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Listen, it wasn't the holy gods with a little g, it was the spirit of Almighty God. And they're about to talk to someone that can help them. And so the queen is trying to calm him down and say, listen, you're the king. Don't be looking so worried. You ought not act this way. You ought to be acting kingly. And so she begins to tell him about this older man that's in the kingdom. Daniel, at this time, is probably about 80 years old. He's been in Babylon for about 68 years. So Daniel comes into the room, white hair. I can imagine his face, white beard, a God-fearing countenance. And he stands there looking over the room, and he notices all the drunken nobles. He sees the sacred vessels of God being used to glorify the gods of the Egyptians. And then he looks over at the wall, and he sees the writing. And at this point, he has some options. He could either pretend that the Babylonian guys, that he can't tell them what the writing means, or he could have been politically correct and toned down the message, you know, and been a little less judgmental, which, by the way, that's what the world is looking for today. They're wanting us to tone down the message of Almighty God. There's folks, listen, that want us to, you know, after all, listen, this is the inflation. We've got to be careful and with our finances. Don't you know that if you give extra to Faith Promise Missions, you may have to do without something? Listen, I'm here to encourage you today that there is a God today, and that we can still be bold in our stand for the things of Almighty God. We can still preach the word of Almighty God. We don't have to preach it with a big Bible in our hand to where we try to, you know, beat someone into subjection with the word of God. But we can love them, and we can tell them that there is a God that loves them, that sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for their sin. And we can tell them that there is a church that still stands for truth today, that still teaches the word of Almighty God, thus saith the Lord. And we can do it with a clean heart and a right spirit and reach the lost for the honor and glory of God. And so here comes Daniel. He's been faithful. He's been true to God. And listen, and by the way, again, let me say that we need preachers and teachers and Christians to be faithful and true to God. There's too many Christians today that have become statistics in the things of God. They used to be a good teacher. They used to be a good Christian a layman. They used to be a good Christian bus worker. They used to be involved in church. They used to be faithful. Let me encourage you today. Don't be a used to be. Be someone who is still doing the things of God that God wants you to do, and let God bless you in what you are doing. Don't limit God in your life, but continue to be faithful just like Daniel. So Daniel comes in and he says, this is the interpretation. I'm thankful today that there's still preachers like your pastor that'll still stand today and say, thus saith the Lord, and give it to you just like it is, to people just as they are. Listen, I'm thankful today that there's churches just like this one that lets me know that, listen, the Central Park Baptist Church is not the only one. There's still churches today that are still standing by the word of God, that still trust in their faith promise missions and still lean on people to be involved in it so that we can reach the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. So Daniel says, this is the interpretation. And he says, Manah, which means God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. He says, Tikal, which thou means thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. He says also, Paraz, which means thy kingdom is delivered and given to the Medes and Persian. And then if you go forward and look in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 30, notice what it says. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Belshazzar and 1,000 nobles were killed by the sword of Cyrus. Listen, can I encourage you, let you know something tonight? Listen, we got to be careful about how we handle the things of Almighty God. God has blessed, me and my wife, God has blessed us. I always think about where God has brought me from and where he's brought me to. And I'm here to let you know I'm blessed. Man, God's blessed me beyond measure. And I'm not talking about with just things. I'm talking about with the blessing of handling the word of Almighty God and the blessing of pastoring a great people in an area where I thought, man, somebody from Kermit, Texas would never be able to do anything like that. He's blessed me with some saved children. He's blessed me with 6 grandchildren. And I see children running around. And we had a lunch with Brother Dan's grandkids today, and I look at them and I'm thinking about my grandkids and I think, man, how God has blessed me. But he's also blessed me with the means whereby that I can be involved in things like Faith Promise Missions. Listen, he's blessed me to the point to where I know that if I give to God, that God will give it back to me. But listen, that's not why I give. I don't give it to God just to see what he's going to give back to me. I give to God because I can give to God. And I want to be a blessing and I want to see people get saved. Listen, I'm thankful today for the blessings of God. I get to be a preacher. I get to be a pastor. You know, I played golf in high school and there was the first hole. I still remember it's 410 yards and it was kind of like a U shape. You start up high and you go down the valley, you go back up to the green. And if we didn't shoot a certain score, we would always have to run that hole down there and back. And we would always come, and our coach, he was a football coach that taught golf. And we would come in, and he would grab the scorecards, and as soon as he saw them, he'd say, okay, take off, you know. And we would say, oh, come on, coach, do we have to run? And he'd say, no, you get to run. And so, we would take off. Well, listen, I don't have to preach. I get to preach. I don't have to be a pastor. I get to be a pastor. I don't have to be a part of Faith Promise Missions. I get to be a part of Faith Promise Missions. And folks, listen, that's the way we ought to look at the opportunities that we have to be a part of the things of God. I want you to see two things real quick. I want you to notice first God's vessels. The first thing that we see here is that Belshazzar profaned or defiled the holy vessels of the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says what? I already mentioned it. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Listen, I want to reemphasize the fact that we are holy vessels. We are someone. We are vessels to be used and to bring honor and glory to Almighty God, not something that should be desecrated or defiled. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Aren't you glad today we serve a reasonable God? God is a reasonable God. He doesn't ask us to do anything that we are incapable of doing. Why? He is reasonable. He says to present your bodies, which is a reasonable service. Well, listen, we're God's holy vessels, but we also notice about God's warnings. Belshazzar is an example of a man who refused to be taught and would not be warned, and now God mocks at his calamity. If you look in chapter 5 and verse 22 and verse 23, Daniel reminds Belshazzar of what happened to Nebuchadnezzar because of his pride and blasphemy. Listen, I'm here to let you know that God, if you remember and go back, you'll know that God had driven Nebuchadnezzar out of his kingdom and made him eat grass like an ox. You know, I've never eaten grass. I've eaten some crow, but I've never eaten grass. But I'm telling you, Belshazzar, listen, he upped this eating grass by drinking wine out of the cups of the Lord's house, even though he knew what had happened to his father. You know, I've got two brothers and two sisters, as I've already said, and it's something that I've learned about the youngest sibling. They are wise. They sit back and watch their older siblings, and if they get in trouble for something, they may not necessarily not do it, but they learn how not to do it and get caught. Amen. I learned how to do that with my older brother. I learned, you know, that he got in trouble for that. And most times I thought, you might not ought to try that, because if he got caught, you're going to get caught. My dad would always say, so how'd you know that? He would be preaching, I'd be sitting out here, and I'm thinking, man, he's followed me around all week. How did he understand that? And I'd say, Dad, how'd you know? He'd say, a little bird told me. And I would think, if I could get my hands on a little bird, I think I could choke him a little bit. But listen, here's Daniel. I mean, he's trying to let this king know what had gone on. Listen, Belshazzar knew what had happened to his father, but he did it anyway. Daniel says in verse 22, although thou knewest all this, thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. Listen, he warned him not to do that. He warned him that the decisions he was making were poor decisions. He also told him about sin's fate. You see, Belshazzar lost his kingdom that night. He fell victim to the sins of the night. Can I encourage you and let you know that the things of this old world, that we are living in a dark age. I'm not that old. I'm a lot younger than your pastor, but I mean, I'm pretty young. But this old world's come a long way. I've seen it. I remember when they used to pray in school. I remember when we used to read our Bible and read a Bible verse over the loudspeaker system in the schools. And listen, we can't do that these days. We might offend someone. We've come to a dark day in our society. But the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Listen, I'm telling you, we're in those days today. I don't know how far we're going to go. My dad's always said, boy, I'm telling you, living for the Lord, it may get to the place it separates the men from the boys as far as Christianity is concerned. I think we've come to that day. I think it's come to the place, though, where Christian people ought to stand up for the things of Almighty God. Listen, one of the things I believe that we can do that and show forth that we are really striving to reach people with the gospel is Faith Promise Missions. We have Missions Month at our church in October. And I challenge our folks every year to give something, not so that we can, you know, say, look what we did, but we can say, look what God's done. And we just allowed him to use us to be a part of that. Listen, we can see here today that Belshazzar had an opportunity to do something, but he made a dumb decision. I've made a lot of those in my life, but God has still, through his grace and his mercy, allowed me to be in a place just like this. You say you still make them? Yeah, I tried to burn a pile of wood with gas. You say, what else do you do? Well, I've done a lot of bad things or dumb things that I knew that I should not have done. But the one thing that I've always strived to do is to live for God. You know, for 37 years, I was talking to my son this afternoon, and we were talking about something. And I said, son, listen, a lot of people see where you are today, but they don't see what it took you to get where you are. I said, you just do one thing. You just live for the Lord and let God lead you and do what he wants you to do, and God will always catch you back. Listen, can I tell you today that God loves you, and if you'll just live for him, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day will bring forth. All we have to do is give ourselves to him today. And when we wake up in the morning, our blessings will be fresh and new every morning. We can start all over brand new with him, fresh, doing what God would have us to do. Can I ask you something? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you involved in the ministry of your church? Are you giving to Faith Promise Missions? If you're not, you're missing out on the blessings of Almighty God. Listen, make a wise decision today. Do what God has asked you to do. And if he's challenged you, listen, I'm telling you, you'll not do without. I've never missed a meal, ever. I've eaten a lot of turkey ham. I don't like turkey ham, but I've eaten a lot of it. Early in our marriage, me and my wife, we lived on turkey ham. We ate diced turkey ham, sliced turkey ham. We ate fried turkey ham. We ate turkey ham sandwiches. We ate. I mean, I could go on, but I ate, and God took care of us. Can I tell you today, if you'll trust God, listen, you'll not do the wrong thing. You'll always make a wise decision doing what God would have you to do. Make a wise decision this evening as far as faith promise missions. Father, help us. Lord, help us, God, to follow you. Help us to lean on you. And Lord, we learned Belshazzar, he made a bad decision. It cost him. Lord, I believe with all my heart that, Lord, if we are not involved in faith promise missions, Lord, we just miss out on the blessings of God. We tie your hands. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, tonight. Help Lighthouse Baptist Church to move forward and even do more than what they did last year for the cause of Christ through faith promise missions. Lord, we see in Scripture, God, how you bless and how you use those in a special way that give over and above their tithes and offerings to missions. And I pray, God, that you'd bless, Lord, and speak to people's hearts. And Lord, I pray, God, tonight, if there's someone here that's lost, that, God, that they would come. Lord, there were folks that raised their hand this morning. And Father, I don't know if they're back, but God, if they are, I pray, Lord, that they'll come. And Lord, just give way to the moving of the Holy Spirit of God this evening. And Lord, that they'll come and trust you as Savior. And Lord, help us to be still for a minute. Help us to allow you to speak to our hearts through that still small voice, and we'll give you the praise and give you the glory for it, because in Jesus' name I pray.